Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. The last verse of Surah Al-Imran. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sabiru wa sabiru wa rabitu attaqullaha la'allakum tuflihun. The Surah starts off, Ya ayyuhal nasu attaqu rabbukum. And it ends off, attaqullaha la'allakum tuflihun. So it starts off with taqwa and it ends up with taqwa. This first verse of Surah Al-Imran is often repeated at the time of nikah. The nikah khutbah. Ya ayyuhan nasu ittaqoo rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahida wa khalaqa minha zawjaha. So what is the reason that this verse is quoted at the time of nikah? In a marital relationship, there may be some things that are clear and some things that may be very discreet and subtle. Clear, right? When a man gets married, then he needs to take responsibility of three things: roti, kapra, or makan. She must take care of her food, clothing, and home. So these are the three things he will look after. Straight away, when he gets into a nikah contract, then he will assume responsibility for these three things. But there are some subtle aspects that go along with this relating to taqwa. One may be fulfilling all these rights, food, clothing, etc. He may be providing. But he doesn't give the wife quality time. They're at home, but he doesn't give the quality time. He doesn't show her the respect that she deserves. He doesn't speak to her like she desires that he should speak to her. There's no smile on the face. No compliments, nothing, absolutely dry. So is this in conformity with taqwa? So therefore Allah Pak says, ittaqullah. So you've seen the one dimension of taqwa, but you forgot about the other dimension, love, respect, complimenting, congratulating, appreciating. If someone treated you like a furniture and they showed no feelings to you, how do you feel? So all the more, it's a weaker sex, right? And together with fulfilling all her rights, then it is these subtle aspects that will cheer up, it will make her feel happy. But the Nabi would enter the home and there would be a cheer on his face. So if Aisha Adiyanha or any of the others watch had gone through some stressful experience in the day, then just that one look and one glance and the whole face, the whole tabiat is cleared up. Someone shows you cheer, muhabbat. You forget about all the mishap, all the distress, all the problems that you had gone through. So therefore Allah Ta'ala speaks about taqwa. Ya ayyuhan nasu ittaqu rabbakum. Sometimes what happens to us is we become very rigid and we just take a situation by the book, every word. Right? And we forget now that there is a deeper meaning and there is another dimension to this. And this other dimension, we are forgetting about it. Right? As Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As had gone into a marriage. So the father-in-law was very caring. Amr was very caring. So he took the courage to find out from his daughter-in-law, and how do you find my son? He said, don't ask about him. So it's not a naik, such a naik person he is. But how is he? Oh, he's very naik, very, very pious. So how naked he is, so pious the whole night he stays in Siddhi Bada, the days in Rosa, that the father understood what this woman was saying. He understood. Husharad means, amongst the Arabs, there were three or four people that were very super intelligent. One was Amr Radiyam, one was Mughira ibn Shawba, one was Muawiyah Radiyam, very sharp, very clever, intelligent. So now, the father doesn't know the Shari perspective. So he took the whole case up to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But it was such a beautiful time that nobody minded that his problem must be taken up to someone superior. As contrary to today, if someone reports something about some person to some superior, say, yeah, you have to go and report me. Couldn't come and correct myself. So in that day, it was such an easy thing. I found a problem and I wanted closure to it, so I go to the superior, but this is a problem. Can you just sort it out? So he'll call in the person and correct him. End of the story. But now, to correct the person is a problem, and to refer it to a senior is even more problematic. So you get a compound situation. So then, as a result, then the situation began to deteriorate. But then it was clear what a problem, and I reported. Imagine her, Hinda, Diyabanha, is being accepted for Islam, right? So she also takes the oath that she will not steal anything. Like the words of Bayat, Allah yasrikna wala atina bibuhtani, the different things of Bayat. So one of the things that was there, not to kill, not to murder, and not to steal. Now she asks Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but my husband Abu Sufyan, he's a little bit too tight with the money. Too tight. It was a little bit on the stingy side. Right. Now can I use from his money for my needs and for my children's needs? Now Abu Sufyan did say, you spied me out. Is that to Khodia? My respect is gone now. He didn't say that. Today I have no Izzat left now. Now Abu Sufyan is also a leader of the Quraysh, right? And his wife relates this to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Abu Sufyan doesn't feel anything about it. He just says, hey, what's wrong with you? No. Meri usra, me izzat ko khatam kar diya tune. So, they viewed life differently. Understood life, viewed life, and they seen things differently. One Muhaddis is giving a dars in the Haram Sharif. So, as the dars, the lesson had ended, so one Indian alim comes up and says to the Muhaddis that you explain the hadith in this way, and the hadith is not like how you've explained. This is the right explanation. So, this Muhaddis, his circle had scattered already. And the Haram Sharif, when you get a circle, you get a big circle. So they already scattered. So he quickly got up and shouted, all my students, come back, come back. All of them came back. And he said, you see, I explained this hadith like this. And this explanation I gave you was incorrect. And the right explanation is like this. And this Indian alim had corrected me. And I support his explanation. So I retract my explanation. Now if it was one of us, what we would have done? The first level, we would try to challenge the person, try to correct us. Right? The first level, what you know, I know more about you. And if we are convinced on our mistake, then we'll come the second day, the following day, and then we'll say in a different way, you know the explanation I gave, so I had to rethink about it. But this is the preferred explanation. So see, I'll cover my words. I won't say it like how this person said it. Now, this person says it absolutely clear. See, this, that's what they say, the ulama of the Bani Israel, right? أَتَنْسُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَكْتُمُونَ الْكِتَابِ وَلَا تَلْبِسُوا الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ وَلَا تلبس الحق بالباطل وتكتم الحق. So they were involved, as Christians and Jews, they were involved in two wrongs. One, تلبس الحق بالباطل وتكتم الحق. One is to conceal the truth, and one is to cover. Lubs is to cover. Right? Clothing covers your body, lubs. Right? So the people will be all in two types, right? One is the person that doesn't know anything. When he doesn't know anything, then the easy way is to just conceal it. For example, the Torah and the Injil will have verses of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So just conceal it, he doesn't know, and he won't get to know. Finish. The story is ended there. But then there is another class amongst the Bani Israel who knows something. They have some information. Now, so you get one class of people that are totally ignorant, and you get another class that has got some information. So the class that has got some information, you can't use this approach of concealing. Then how do you overcome this hurdle? So, وَلَا تَلْبِسُ الْحَقِّ. What they would do? They would cover. They would cover up. Cover up means make up a story. Okay. So, you cover yourself, you cover your tracks, making up a story, giving another interpretation, giving another explanation. Like how we say, diluting something, covering it up. Or the one that is understanding, he understands, man covered it up and did a good job. He covered it up in a good way. Like for example, someone was asked about girls going to university, right? So we all know about the wrong that goes. Opposite us was one professor, Vauda. Now he's in Canada somewhere, right? So he left here. And then he was explaining to me the environment of the university. He says, university is like a ticket to freedom. Free behavior, free speech, everything is allowed. Anything is allowed, and everything is allowed. So it's total freedom. Where there is no parameters, there is no control, right? Then can a girl be safe in such a place? Then is it permissible to send a girl to such a place? It's total freedom. Everything has been broken down. Everything becomes legal, whether it's wine, woman, dancing, any type of indecency, indecent behavior, anywhere. So, in such a place where there's so much of indecency, so much of corruption, so much of evil, then to send a girl there, is it right? There was one Mulana that was in that Grahamstown, so there's a university there. So he says to me, he used to work amongst the youth, bring them towards the masjid and all that. So he says to me that the university as though makes a claim, you know, that any girl come from any environment, most pious, but we give her 6 months and we'll do what we want to her. We'll manipulate 6 months. So in this, it's such a volatile environment, and I ask you, is it permissible? So one person, so-called educated person, is asked, what about a woman going to university? Now, he knows the background. But now, he can't say that it is totally haram, and he can't say that it is totally permissible. He knows that it's haram, it's not right. Now, he has to cover his tracks. So now, how he covers his tracks? He says, such a great mass of human resources can't be wasted. Okay? That such a huge mass of human resources must not be wasted. So now see, he is covering his tracks very intelligently, very cleverly. Now, the man feels, I went through this. So samajhne wale, the one that is understanding, he understands what this person has done. He hasn't given direction. He's misdirected the whole crowd. He was supposed to be saying that this is the environment you're sending your child to, and this is what must be expected after that. If the child is not robbed of her purity and chastity, then she will be definitely robbed of her thinking, of her understanding, seeing things correctly. She will be robbed of it. And to correct that will be one zaman after that. You went there for some material security, right? Then she's not robbed of her chastity and decency, all that her respect and chastity. Then she'll be robbed of this thing here. Then to get her back on track, it's going to be an effort after that. So this verse of the Quran Sharif starts off with taqwa. Ya ayyuha an-nasu taqu rabbakum alladhi. I say taqwa got these two things. One is discrete, one is those matters that are open. Discrete, open things, you know. But the things that are discrete, see, when ilm is not supported with taqwa and not flavored with the association of the righteous, right, then that ilm can mislead you. Because with the association of the righteous, then you have strengthened it with taqwa and righteousness. Then inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will protect you, will take care of you. But you took the ilm and you didn't support it with taqwa, with righteousness, with right association. So that ilm now will begin to look for ways for you. Alright, you can look for an exit here, for a way here. One person wrote up to Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, I want to know, see, sometimes my mind works in this way. See, there's a girl that I know from childhood, school days and childhood, we grew up together, and I didn't get to marry her. Someone else got to marry her, but her memories keep on haunting me. Because we grew up together, I knew, was very so fond of each other, I got to know her very well. And then fate had it, taqdeer had it, that she went somewhere else and I had to go somewhere else. But then the memories don't leave me. So this love, I say repeatedly, but I don't get into it. Because it's a difficult thing to strip off. To get it is easy, but then to forget this thing here is a very difficult thing. So he says now, what I do, sometimes when the thought of that girl becomes too overwhelming, then I think to myself, alright, say for example, her husband, present husband, for some reason is not happy with her, so he separates her, he divorces her, right? And then when he separates her, he divorces her, then she completes her iddat, right? And when she's completed her iddat, then I will send a proposal for her. And when I send a proposal, then the proposal will inshallah be accepted. And then I'm in nikah with her. So then when I'm in nikah with her, then how will I enjoy myself? So then he's fantasizing how I enjoy it. But see the process. As though he's justifying the end through the process. Now he asked Mawlana this type of a complicated question. So Mawlana's back to him was, alright. You see, take another scenario. You got a wife and you got a daughter, right? Say your daughter or someone is married, or your mother is married, right, to your father. And someone is fantasizing about your mother in the same way, you know. That she was a friend, you know, from napkin days she was a friend. And now she thinks about her in the same process, with the same process. Divorced, iddat, proposal, marriage, and then halal. Will this be acceptable? Samajhya, I understood that thing. So until it doesn't get you, you know, it's a complicated thing. But when you turn the whole thing around and point it towards you, now you get the thing in perspective. So this taqwa doesn't only refer to external things. External things and the secrets of the heart. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْعَيُونَ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. What the heart is concealing. That also Allah knows about it. See the need of a sheikh. That's why this man would have gone totally wrong. He didn't have a sheikh. He would have gone, he would be fantasizing with someone else's wife and thinking, no, I'm doing it in the halal way. I halalized the whole thing. So it's permissible for me. That's how you have taken it. He will have thought of it like this. as the Jirahma gave on story, saying, you know, you've got taqwa, but you don't have the association. You learned some dimension of taqwa, some ilm you got, but you don't have association, then you would go and confuse things. Sometimes you break taqwa completely, sometimes you confuse and complicate, cover up things, you know, make a cover up story. You know. Story to cover up, see. So he says one person had to go and meet one Nawab. Nawab is like the Induna of the place. Those Indunas at that time were quite powerful, very wealthy. So this person from one town has to go to another town to meet the Induna or the Nawab Sahib. So the Nawab Sahib is having his beard shaven at the time. So Nawab Sahib is having his beard shaven, and there is a local alim there. And in the presence of the local alim, he's having his beard shaven. So this outside alim that comes in, he's wondering what's happening here. There's an alim here, and the Nawab Sahib in the presence of the alim is having his beard shaven. How can this happen? So he objected, Nawab Sahib, kya kar rahe? What are you doing? How can you shave your beard like this? So the Nawab Sahib looked towards the local alim. See, now we have an attitude. In Urdu they say, Hamari billi aur hame miau. Should Hamari billi aur hame miau. It's my cat and it's meowing at me. In other words, it's my worker. My worker can't say tell me anything. He can't tell me anything. So we will count the Imam Sahib or the Alim as our worker. So when he's our worker, he can't come and tell me what to do. See? So that's the mindset that we have, that he mustn't correct me. He is my worker, I must give him instructions. He can't give me instructions. Not realizing, but he's an Alim. And he's an Alim for what? To guide you to deen. Right? You have appointed, say for example, an attorney in your office, right? Or a big company, or an attorney. So, the attorney says, see, what you're planning is not right, it's wrong. So you can't say the same thing, Hamari billi or hame miau, can you say it? But you know what's going to be the implications. No one listen to him, you'll get into sakarat, problems, difficulties. So he's going to guide you. For what he's going to guide you? He's going to guide you in law. Legal matters he'll guide you. Tell you this is right, this is not right. If you never listen to him, you're going to get yourself involved in problems. So the alim is there for what? To show you what is the law of Allah Ta'ala. He's showing you the law of the land, and he'll show you the law of Allah Ta'ala. So this is the law of Allah Ta'ala. This is right, this is wrong. But now you taking as though he's instructing you. That's your stupidity. It's your naivety. So anyway, this Nawab looks at the local alim, because the local alim up to now was condoning what he was doing. He was not condemning it, condoning, you see. See how you cover up. This cover up story is like the sickness of the day, like an epidemic. So say the truth as it were, now it becomes like a challenge. Say the truth, say it correctly, clearly. Obviously you're not saying it to hurt or to ridicule or to humiliate, but say this is the right thing. Everywhere to go and give a cover up story, now people get confused. They don't know what is right, what is wrong. Someone asks you about television, no, it's alright, some ulama are for it. Now you're giving up a cover-up story. Now the person that is viewing, so he says, you know, sometimes that woman comes in on the television. In real life, I don't look at women. But now, this one says, but it's alright, now how do you reconcile this thing? Now if you come back to the Mawlana, so now, most of all, you know, you must have a clean heart. It's a clean heart. So where Allah Pak had commanded the Sahaba Kiram to put parda and all that, right, to cover themselves, that means they are dirty hearts. That's the last thing of it, isn't it? So if you say that we must have a clean heart, then that means the time of the Sahaba Kiram, where they told, "Kulli banatika wa azwajika yudnina alayhinna min jalabibihin," cover themselves, cover their faces, etc. That means they are dirty hearts. Today you got a clean heart. That's a meaning. That's what you are implying. See? So when this local alim is being referred by the Nawab, Nawab said, "Nawab said, look here, bhai, kya ho raha hai? You are condoning it, you're not condemning my practice. So how do you explain this? How do you explain? What explanation do you give?" So he says, "You know, Nawab sahab, tumhare liye to dari munna bilkul jaiz hai." See, open, you know. See, "Nawab sahab, it's absolutely permissible for you to shave off your beard." See, the other day I was explaining, there are some sunnats, right, or some ways of Nabi Sussum that are not done as ibadat, right, and some things that are done as ibadat. What is not done as ibadat, then there is no sawab for it. Right? For example, the Nabi Sam, nearly all his life he used a lungi, right? What you call an izar. Whole life, he didn't wear a trouser, he wore a lungi, right? Now, that was a tradition of the time. So now, who's going to say that this was a tradition of the time? Those that were experts in this science, they will tell you this was the tradition, this was style on the time. So Nabi Sam also wore that. So that was the tradition, that was the way it was done at that time. In other words, it came from above, from the time of the Anbiya, all dressed up the same way. It was not that it was a fashion of the time. So someone misconstrued it was a fashion of the time. It wasn't a fashion of the time. Rather it was the way that was brought from the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. And up to now, it wasn't changed. So Nabi Sam wore that. Right? So it came from the right end, and it was transmitted correctly, and was used up till that day. Right? But it was used because it was a tradition of people at that time. Right? So this is one type of a sunnah. So you don't get a sawab for it. And you get another type of a sunnah, which Nabi Sam had done, as an act of sawab, right? Like you get the two rakats of sunnah of fajr. So he's done it as an act of sawab. The lengthening of the beard, an act of sawab. See? So it's two different things. Now, when a person cannot differentiate, then he'll confuse, complicate things. So the right thing is, these matters, in every matter you've got an expert person who's specialized in it, you refer it to him. It's not a general thing. Both matters, both issues have to be separated. Right. Now look at it. We are commanded in principle to oppose, to go against the Jews and the Christians. Khaliful Yehuda wa Nasara. Right. But then to what extent? Hazrat Abbad ibn Hudayr radiyallahu anhu. So he and another sahabi, Abbad and Hazrat Usayd, I think, both of them, they are in the majlis of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and someone tells Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that these Jews, when the woman is in her monthly causes, right? Woman that is in her monthly causes, then they separate her totally, eating as well as, there is no bedroom, not in the same bedroom. Not only intimacy, but they are separated in the rooms as well. One room, she's in a totally different room. So this is how they carry on. But they separate the woman totally, absolutely. That both of them don't share the same room. So, afala nunajimuha. Jimuha, right? And can't we just go against the Jews completely and be intimate with women so that we'll be totally against them? So, see, the catalyst is right or wrong? Catalyst is right. Thing that is propelling him to say, make the suggestion, is it right? It's right. That he wants to have a total contradiction, oppose them entirely. Right? But, where it's come from, it's come from, he doesn't understand yet, right? That in which matters, what are the parameters, and which matters we are supposed to be contradicting, and which matters we are not supposed to be contradicting. See, he's mixed the whole issue. So he didn't understand it. So it was a time for Nabi Sam to explain it. So a Nabi, naturally, he'll make taghyir al-munkar. Naturally. That's a nature of a Nabi. You know, if it's wrong, then he'll correct it straight away. On the spot, he'll correct it. So when Abbad mentioned this, so Nabi Sam's countenance changed color. Was very upset. Right. To show now that this sedition is not a right sedition. So he expressed his disapproval. Right. That means there's going to be two areas. One area where we are supposed to be contradicting them, going against them. And one area is matlub fi nafsi, which is desired, is required. So that which is desired is required, irrespective whether the Jew is doing something or the Christian is doing something, you're not going to change. You're not going to say, no, that they started something, so I will go against them. Some things you can change, and some matters it's going to be straight and you're going to be doing it. Whether Jews or Hindus are doing anything, but you're going to carry on your thing. Right. See, for example, now we keep beards, right? Like it becomes a fashion of the people, right? Jews, Christians, to keep beard. Right? So we will not say that because it became their fashion, so therefore we'll shave our beard. Because this is a set requirement. When it's a set requirement, then there's no alterations in it. Right? But if it is of a permissible nature, right? If it's a permissible nature, like I said, lungi, right? It's just a permissible nature. And it becomes a fashion of the time, right? Then the ulama will say, no, don't trust up this. Right? Because it's of a permissible nature. It's not a desired thing. It's not a required thing. It's just a permissible nature. And the Jews have made it their system. So now, discontinue this. Like, for example, there is the discussion about wearing the ring, right? The ring, then which hand must you put the ring, right or the left, right? So, most of the hadiths say, talk about the left, right? But then the discussion goes further, that some say no, that it should be used on the right, not in the left. So then they give the reason why it should be on the right, not on the left. They say now it become the symbol of the Shias. The Shias use it on the left, so now put it on to the right. Although in that zamana it was on the left, but this was of a permissible nature. When it's just of a permissible nature, now to show that you are distinct, you separate yourself from the Shias, now you use your ring on the right. See? So that is why it is not the right thing for everybody to give his 2 cents in the end. Because everyone is going to give his 2 cents. You're going to complicate issues. Now, these very discreet things, you're going to be talking to the public, and they'll get confused. But this type of matters, what I'm talking now, is not a public issue. You can't talk to the public. Without giving a lengthy explanation, they're not going to get to the end. So there are several things of this nature, and the ulama will say that it is impermissible. Right? And for the reason is the same, that now it's become a style of the Jews or the Christians, therefore we'll terminate this. The whole permission is terminated. We say now terminate this whole thing, not permissible. These hadiths were, for some valid reason, Hazrat Nabi Samad urinated while standing. Right? Right. It was a valid reason. Like for example, the valid reason may have been that there wasn't a suitable place to sit down and urinate. Right? Sometimes the land is not suitable. Right? Or the place is not suitable. Or perhaps he's got a backache. See, got a backache now, you find it difficult to squat, right? So you've got a backache now, you find it difficult. So it's a valid excuse. Like someone is sitting and performing namaz, it's got a valid excuse. You won't say that is a sunnah to perform namaz sitting. But because of a valid excuse, the person is performing namaz seated, right? So he must have had a valid excuse to urinate while standing. Now, then the Lama discussed this whole thing. And they say, but in this day and time, to stand and urinate is impermissible. And then they give the reason. They say, now it's become the trend of the Christians, the Jews. They are to urinals, and everybody's horse piping, right? And the sticks there. It's such an ugly scene. Yeah, they were the urinals, 10 urinals shooting one way. My akal kahave. No brains, no shame, no absolute. They eat pork and they become shameless. Allah will protect us. Right? So you got these type of issues, and these issues will be because of, I showed you there's two different issues. One is what is required in deen, and one is not a requirement, although it was practiced, but it's not a requirement. So that can change with time, situation, it can change. And this way you can't change it. Because it's required in deen, it's a practice in deen, so you're not going to change it altogether at any time. Another example that I quote is, see about shaking hands, right? It's not supposed to be, you're not supposed to be shaking hands. The word is musafa. Right? And the Arabic definition is, ilsaqu safhatil yadi bil yad, clasping like this. Not like this. That's shaking. That's how, because if you shake hands, so they take hands and they shake it. And sometimes some people are very, very unmindful. You see an old man, man can't take it, it's too much for him. You give a big handshake, you think it is a good thing. So the right thing is to clasp. Right? There's two wrongs in the shaking hands today. One is they're shaking like this, not supposed to be shaking. And the second is this, that ilsaqu safhat al-yad, not ilsaqu al-asabi. So the shaking hands, but the shaking hands with the fingers meeting the fingers. Right? That's the second wrong. So it's supposed to be shaking hands complete, the whole hand clasping, right? And the third wrong with the shaking hands is al-musafahatu tatimmatul salam. تَتِمَّتُ التَّحِيَّةِ The musafaha is a completion for the salam. See, that means you're supposed to be saying assalamu alaikum and then shaking hands. Shaking hands is not a separate thing. It's just a completion for making salam. Assalamu alaikum, then you meet. Now you're just meeting and not saying salam. So that's part of the job. The real thing was salam, and the completion to this was meeting like this. The fourth thing that is also related to salam, then you don't make salam to a woman, right? To a woman that is your ghair mahram, that you can marry, right? Any woman that you can marry, then you can't shake hands with her. No matter how close she was to you, your cousin, your auntie's cousin, whatever, but you can't shake hands. Right? So if you look at the shaking hands, right? So according to some hadith, there is some evidence to show that one, at some occasion, one hand was used. One hand was used to shake hands. There is some evidence to show that, right? But I ask anybody, the shaking hands with one hand in this day, right? Alright, shaking hands in this day, with shaking both hands, right, shaking both hands, is this something unique with any class today? It's unique with the Muslims only. Do you see any other people doing the shaking hands with one hand? Is it unique to the Muslims? It's unique. But anybody else doing it? Anybody, any other society, any other community doing this? You don't see anybody doing it. It's something, it's a thing that is unique with the Muslims. Right? So now, well, this is something unique with the Muslims, and non-Muslims have aped it, right? When they aped it, they do it with one hand. So isn't it a need for us to go against them? Is there a need to go against them? Now they give one hand, now we'll do it with two hands. So we're showing, we've got nothing to do with you. Inni bara'un minkum wa mimma ta'budun. We separate ourselves from you, from your ways, and from your worship. Both. We've got nothing to do with your ways. So we'll show now we are distinct from you. We've got nothing to do with your ways, with your styles, with your culture, with your values. Yours is something different, and ours is different. Although, there is some evidence, right, to show that the shaking hands with one hand is permissible, right? But now, because this has become something that is unique with the Muslims, that Muslims shake hands with one hand, so how are you going to identify with your brother that you're a Muslim? You'll give both hands. Right? And if you are, don't want to identify, then you'll give one hand. But when you don't want to identify, you don't identify with your own. So you want to identify with the norm, not with your own. You want to identify with a non-Muslim, not with a Muslim. So isn't this a feeling of inferiority? That your own class, you don't want to be identified with them. But someone else I want to be identified with. I ask you, isn't this a feeling of inferiority? Well, you're supposed to be happy. بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُ. Well, you're supposed to be rejoicing with the grace of Islam, grace of Allah Ta'ala. The greatest grace is Islam. So this is the thing that you're supposed to be rejoicing. And you're feeling ashamed of being a Muslim, so you're giving one hand. Is that the right thing? Just think for a moment, give one hand. So this has become sort of unique with the Muslims, that they give both hands. So why move away from the path of the Muslims, the general Muslim tradition? Why move away from that? Similarly, you'll find, all right, the using of a topi, right? So there can be some evidence that at some time, because of some circumstance, someone must have performed namaz without a topi. Sahabi must have performed namaz without a topi, because of circumstance, right? So, in essence, it will be permissible, right? But now, wearing this topi, the mosque hat, right? This type of a topi, this type of hat, right? It's unique with who? Kafirs or Muslims? It's a thing that is unique to Muslims. You see a person with a mosque hat, then you identify, okay, this is a Muslim. Doesn't it happen? Here or in any country, but you see him with a hat, with a topi, right? Quite a mosque hat, right? So this is now something unique with who? It's unique with the Muslims. So this is an identification. When it's an identification, then why shouldn't you adopt it? When it's identifying, why must you feel inferior and remove the cap? You know, some years ago, a person came to the office to meet me, right? So he says to me that I'm really disgusted at your students, that I came through the forecourt right to your office, but none of them made salam to me. So first I just apologized with him. As a formality, I just apologized, sorry for that, whatever. But then I looked at him carefully, asked him, Mota, you know what, I want to ask you one question. That you came into the madrasa wearing your topi or without your topi? So I came without a hat. So I said, excuse me, you see, the student must have been apprehensive whether they must greet you or not to greet you. Because it could have been that you were a Christian, it could have been that you were a Hindu, right? And say, for example, a Hindu greets you with namaste, how would you like it? You will feel intimidated, won't you? If he says namaste, you will feel intimidated, right? Won't you feel that? But you feel that's a religious thing, and that mustn't be extended to me. That's how you feel. So, that child must have been feeling apprehensive that if he's going to extend the greeting of salam, you may feel intimidated. So therefore, he stayed back. He just resisted. So you don't blame him for that. Can you blame him? I didn't think about it. So think about it. How you will feel, he'll feel the same. See, this technology and modern life has made you, compelled you to think one narrow vision, narrow tunnel. So you don't look at it from another perspective. just from one narrow tunnel, one tunnel vision, not turning things around. In the meanwhile, just wearing the topi, right? Another word for the topi is a cap, right? The nukta on the cap is, see if it's a cold ring, right? And you remove the cap. So you remove the cap from the cold ring, left it for one day, right? So I ask you, will you still enjoy the goodness of the cold ring? Or the goodness of the cold ring is gone. The gas is gone, the enjoyment is gone, and nobody's going to buy that thing. Just one day, and you remove the cap, and the goodness of the cold ring is gone. So nobody wants to purchase that cold ring, right? So in this day, one of the ways to secure your iman is to wear the cap, wear the topi, right? That will secure the goodness, right? Because you wear a topi in a mosque, you got, say, hey, but I can't be talking to an auntie, I mean, what people will think. But you remove the topi now, right? It's a license to talk to aunties and all that, right? Isn't that license? You can talk to anybody. But now you got the topi on, and say you got a topi on with a turban then, it's not on at all, man. And an antidote for women, for women to chase women away, like, so they, in this corporate environment, they want to become too free, right? But one way to get them out of your sight, right? A secure way, guaranteed way, is with a topi, with a kurta, have a nice thick turban. Not an ordinary turban, one is like a stylish turban, a nice big fat one, right? And with that, you have mote dana ki tasbih. Not tasbih, with that fat. So all these aunties go away. They won't come near you. That's a repellent. Don't you get a mosquito repellent? Fly repellent. So a repellent for wood, this is a repellent. Such an easy way of killing you. So in the corporate environment, they tell you, no, you can't. See, this is my traditional dress. They allow traditional dress everywhere they allow. They don't say you can't wear. So it's a secure way, you will chase all the aunties away. They have their side, you do your thing. They are mixing up. See, what they are doing is, they are mixing up. Men, women, all must be all like a kachumar. They started off the monkey business, right? They started off monkey, they fear from monkeys. And they ended up that you behave like a monkey. Isn't it? And you will see how monkeys behave. We just see in Springer Beach here. Let's see the monkeys, how they behave. The granny, father, auntie, everybody, all mix up. This is jumping on that one, that one is jumping on this one. No discrimination, absolutely no discrimination. So they start off the business, monkey business, with a plot. Plot is, you must behave like a monkey. They start off. But I wonder, this Darwin, who has started this monkey business, he says that, apes and all, they progressed, right? So if there is a thing like progress, then logically there must be a thing like retrogress. Isn't it? If there is a thing like progress, then logically there must be a thing like retrogress. Then did ever it happen that a man retrogressed to an ape? So you see, it's tunnel vision. The scientists they put you into a tunnel vision. Because logic will tell you that if there's a progress, then there must be a retrogress. Right? Like a mango, right? It ripened, came up, right? That doesn't it rot and deteriorate to dirt and filth? See, سَبِّحِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَصَوَّى وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى وَالَّذِي أَخْرَجَ الْمَرْأَى فَجَعَلَهُ غُصَّاءً أَحْوَى. So if there's a progress, there's a retrogress. So if there's a progress, then there must be a retrogress. But now that they can't prove it. See, they put you into this tunnel vision, and they want you to be just make their taqleed. So this is the blind following that we see is haram. Blind following the imam is right, but blind following scientists, that's haram. So anyway, we're talking about this Nawab Sahib, right? And the Nawab Sahib is looking at the local alim, and he branched off to all these things here, topi and all that. Topi and rings and all that. But just to explain to you, Let me explain the hadith of Abbad ibn Hudayr. Right. So what he's suggesting to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that Ya Rasulullah, that Afala Munajimuhunna. Can't we have total intimacy with women? فَتَغَيَّرَ وَجْهُ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Maybe some face change. Okay, now, see, here there is no, you're not going to be contradicting them. You're not going to go against them. Because the Shari'i law is set, yeah, the set law that in this period when they're going through their monthly causes, you're not going to be intimate. So a Nabi's duty is to show it straight away. So he showed it. So now they understood, right, this year, there's not going to be any opposing, right? Normally you oppose the Jew, you're not going to oppose them, right? But now, look at the perfection of the style of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. His style, so perfect, comprehensive, complete. So now, the majlis was, dispersing, and they got up. But now they're all worried, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is disappointed, and they got up to leave. In the meanwhile, someone brought a gift of milk or something, right? Like how you have some faluda, so someone brought some milk as a gift. So the Nabi Sallam called for these two Sahabi, Usayd ibn Hudayr and Abbad, called for them and let them have of it. See? They enjoyed it. So now they understood that there was no real disappointment. The disappointment was to show parameters, right? Not beyond that, no. There's an important lesson to be learned here. The lesson that is to be learned, sometimes we get angry with someone, right? Or wives or children or something, right? And for days we're putting up the face. Right? He knows that he's wrong. He learned the wrong. He learned his mistake. Now straighten your face now. Now here they understood that he gave a wrong suggestion. And Nabi Sam understood also that it wasn't done because of nafsani reasons, you know? Not for wrong reasons, for right reasons they suggested, whatever they suggested. And when they understood that it was wrong, they accepted it. So now Nabi Sam had to show, alright, our relationship is resumed. There's no breakup in the relationship, it's resumed. So as the gift came in, he offered it to them. Now, can you see the relationship? See? So don't you see the line? See the line? You know, today I was speaking about the line between the Sheikh and the Murid. The line must be absolutely clear. But say, for example, they had left and Rasulullah had not called them, right? So, would there have been an interruption in the line or not? Okay. So, something has to be done to clear up the line again. Now, you've got a pulled up face, you're not showing the right face, or if it is the wrong on the side of the student, say, what this person thinks of himself, he's the only person in the world, and he pulls up his face and goes away. So, there would have been a severance of relationship. So, the senior also needs to correct himself, but the junior also need to correct himself. Now you get a perfect job, you see. So that's why I say the most perfect human being is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Straight away, he had to show that he had to express the disapproval of the suggestion, but he had to resume the same relationship when they accepted the wrong. Accepted now. He presented the note to them. So now, for Alima annahu lam yajid alayhima. That he's not disappointed with them. Isn't that great? Huh? Isn't that perfection? Greatness, perfection. So that is why hadith, Quran Sharif, etc. can't be learnt independently. The more I think about it, you can't. You have to learn it under some professional guidance. Now, say for example, someone read this hadith here, right? Independently, right? Independently, totally, would have learned all these points. You could have picked up all these points. I showed you now, some places, it's a sunnah al-maqsuda, and one is ghayr maqsuda, would have picked up the points. Could have picked up the points. So now, we are commanded just to go against the Jews and the Christians. But he doesn't know there are some things that are set, and those things that are set, then you don't go against it. There is no opposing. So the story of this Nawab is continuous. So I started off with لا تزل بسل حق بالباطل, you know, to cover up, make up a cover up story, diluting a cover up story reinterpretation, redefining. So, I don't want to seem to be a wrong person, so I give another definition, another interpretation. That other definition now, I cover my tracks. Right? I cover myself properly. So now this Nawab is looking at the local alim. And the local alim is saying, no, Janab, you know, Nawab sahab, tumhare to dari mundana bilkul jaiz hai. For you, to shave off your beard is absolutely halal, permissible. Now he's giving up the cover-up story. See how the cover-up story comes. May I show you that? It's for the woman, what he says for the woman, going to university, such a mass of human resources is going to be wasted. This is a cover-up story. See? So this is not a new thing. It's from the time Bani Said that they started the thing off. So that's continuing. So as though the Bani Israeli silsila is carrying on. You know, you got the Chishti silsila, so the Bani Israeli silsila is also carrying on. Silsilas. You got one silsila to Zahab, and one is got an Israeli silsila. Israeli silsila, they're good for covering up, making up stories, that fish story, you know, the fishing story. So the covering up story. Made a lot of stories they make. So he's giving up a cover of stories, he says it's permissible. Now, what is the reason for its permissibility? He says the reason for the permissibility is, you see, aapki dari mubarak, bohoti gunjan hai. See, your beard is very thick. So it's going to be thick then, there's going to be lice, it's going to be juu hogi. Right? Or juu mein, koi nar hoga, koi madda hoga. There'll be a male, and there'll be a female, right? Right. And when they want to copulate, they're not going to make nikah in that. They will say, nakah tuha, kabil tuha. That's not what happened. Right. So, on your mubarak dari, this thing will make zina. Na'uzubillah, astaghfirullah. How can that ever happen? See the story is giving, cover up story. How is he making it so exciting? So how can this haram ever take place on your Mubarak face? So therefore, for you it's permissible. The cover of story is given. So you know, like Nawab is, most of them, they're wealthy, but they're mad, stupid people. Like how you get today wealthy, but they don't have the brains, right? So, now, they both left, that local alim, and the alim from abroad, both left. So the alim from abroad is speaking to the local alim as they're leaving, you know, they're coming to a drain. In India I find the drains, deep drains and all filled, everything, so everything is running, right? So they're coming across the drain. So the alim from abroad is asking the local alim, but how could you give such an answer? How could you know, where's your iman? So this local alim is telling the alim from abroad, you see, when I have to come to the Nawab, I leave my iman in this drain, in this filth. Then I go and see the Nawab. And when I finish with him, I come and pick my iman from this place here, and then I go home. Understand? He's saying the truth, at least he said the truth at least. That's applaudable. So you know he's a corrupt person. He didn't hide the wrong. I'm wrong, but this is what I'm doing. Okay. So therefore, Hazrat Ali should say, in alimo ke ta'wil ke darwaze itne chore hai ke bare bare hati uske andar dakhil ho sakte hai. You know, you have a exit, you know. In zila, in Urdu say chor darwaza. What? Chor darwaza. A secret door, you know, for the thief to run away. A secret door. So the secret door, we talk of ta'wil, you know, ta'wil, hila. What do you say for hila? Loophole. Yeah. So the doors for this loophole is so broad, the doors for the loophole is so broad, that big masses like elephants can go through. such big loophole, they create. So what I'm getting at is that the need for the ulama to be associated so that they learn taqwa. لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ مَعْدٍ وَمَعْدٍ وَالتَّقْوَى قُلُوبُ الْعَارِفِينَ them to learn taqwa. If they don't learn it, then the ilm of theirs, they'll use it for wrong reasons. But if they got taqwa, then whoever it is, like yesterday I was explaining last night, you know, where that person, he says, jisko khuda ki namaz parni ho, to saaf baandh le mere piche. Aur jisko badshah ki namaz parni ho, to badshah ki intezaar kare. And he said it, and he said it straight, clear. Didn't mince up his words, and gave the right directive at the right time. See the need for association. And the same ilm, same knowledge, is not a guarantee. You got the knowledge, but it's stripped off the taqwa, that fear of Allah Ta'ala. Consciousness of Allah Ta'ala is not there. There must have been a reason why the Quran Sharif said, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. What is the product? What is the product of ilm? The product of ilm, you say a tree, right? So the product of the tree is what? Is the fruit. Otherwise you say the tree is occupying space. If you're doing fruit farming, right? And the tree is not producing any fruit. So will you want to keep it? It's occupying space. The tree is there. But what is the lazim of the tree? What is the product of the tree? The product of the tree is the fruit. But the fruit, the tree is not giving the fruit. They say cut it out. So the same with an alim, right? And what is the product? What was supposed to be coming out? The product of his ilm was the fear of Allah Ta'ala. What he's supposed to be manifesting and expressing in his life, in his ways, in his style, in everything. You see how the man is fear, he fears Allah Ta'ala. He's not an ordinary person. There's a fear of Allah Ta'ala that's deep down his heart. But if he doesn't have the fear of Allah Ta'ala, then everything will happen. Anything he can do and everything he can do. So this association is to create this consciousness, this awareness, this fear of Allah Ta'ala concern. The word that you say, your behavior, your conduct, in secret, in open, with your family and children, outside, holiday time, madrasa time, how do you behave? Are you a different person in your holiday at the Bergs or in Cape Town? Are you a different person there, a different person in the madrasa, or you're the same person? Who are you? So this consciousness is there, then you can be in the worst place, but that consciousness will save you, wherever you are. But you don't have that consciousness, that awareness is not there, that you are a different person. On the plane you are a different person, with the hostess you are a different person, with the woman you are a different person. You are totally different, you are just changing. Your personality is like a chameleon, it's changing. Chameleon, better wasn't chameleon.